On this missions morning, I'm reminded of our Becoming Missions Minded conference that we had here earlier this year. You may remember Keith Elliott, the keynote speaker from Camino Global Ministries. He started his address by giving us his definition of being missions minded. He said, being missions minded is being mindful of God's mission to this world in Christ. Being mindful of God's mission to this world in Christ. Here at Glenbridge Bible Church, we have 11 missions and ministries that we prayerfully and financially support. And one of those is Northwind Family Ministries, fondly known to many of us here as Eagles Cove, way up north in Thunder Bay. Over the years, Glenridge has sent mission teams up to Eagles Cove, teams to staff the kids' camps, the youth camps, kitchen teams to prepare the meals for those camps, and work teams to do building maintenance and building construction work. And even this year, this past summer, we had one gentleman from our church, along with a brother from another local church. They both made two mission trips up to Eagles Cove. So, and everyone that I know that's made a missions trip to Eagles Cove testifies to the fact that it's a life-changing and rewarding experience. So it is a delight here this morning to have our dear friends from Eagles Cove with us. We have Burr and Benita are no strangers to us here at Glenridge. They have been with us many times over the years. So on behalf of our missions committee, would you please join us in a warm and friendly Glenridge Bible Church welcome back to Northwind Family Ministries directors, Burra and Benita Ledua.
Well, I often say it feels like coming home when we come here, and so it's always good to be here. The local and provincial and national news often states information from our northern communities and from Thunder Bay. Teen murdered at 17. Four girls commit suicide, ages 11 to 14. Family killed in a house fire. Six-year-old murdered by her uncle. Woman died from wounds of a truck hitch being thrown at her. Homelessness rises, and on. Chiefs declare state of emergencies as our communities up north continue to struggle. And we, as Northwind Family Ministries, have the privilege, the incredible privilege, of coming alongside our Indigenous people. Bear and I have been working among our Indigenous people for about 30, just under 30 years, and the last 12 in Thunder Bay, Ontario. And in that time, we have met very, very courageous people, many of whom have suffered great tragedies, traumas, abuses, and many other things that have taken away their joy and their abilities at times to cope well. Northwind ministers to the Anishinaabe Aski Nation, a tribe, one of the biggest tribes in Canada, of 49 reserves scattered among our northern community, northern area of Ontario. And in those communities, 35 of them are fly-in. Many of them still do not have high schools. Many of their people continue to be sent to Thunder Bay, to Winnipeg, and to other locations to receive medical care, mental health care, and to receive the support that they need. And so it's in that place. We have been blessed by the Eagles Cove Center, where we're able to continue to host, as Stan said, camps and other programs. But we've also seen God move mightily as we have focused on whole life discipleship. Discipleship does not just involve Bible teaching, although that's a key element. But we focus on four aspects: on counseling, on life build, which is a life skills development, on the Bible teaching, as well as giving a space to be on the land as we are at Eagles Cove. Over the last year and a half, God has not only provided a place as Eagles Cove where we're able to have the children and youth and families to come out, but he has also provided a place, an office building, a ministry building right in the core of Thunder Bay. And that place, we sit at the crossroads. City Hall is kitty corner. The shelter house is behind us. The drug house is beside us. And we continue to see as we drug deals right on our corner, people coming in because they're struggling, they're cold, they're hungry, they've lost their way. And so as we sit on that crossroads between those that have the city hall, those that have not, those that have power, and those that do not. Many of the people that are residents or seek shelter from the shelter house just behind us are survivors of Ralph Rowe. Ralph Rowe was a man who went up into six of our northern communities in Ontario, the Anishinaabe tribe, and assaulted over 500 young boys. Those boys are now grown men, struggling, hiding their shame through addictions, and struggling to survive. And so they often make their way into our building and into our programs. It was here when I shared a number of years ago that there was, we used to run a program called a family event once a month. And at that program, we would have a short devotional. We would engage in games and activities and enjoying the land, going sledding and or skating or swimming or canoeing, of course, depending on the season. And then we, as 5 years ago, those people said, they came to us and they said, can we not have this just once a month, but can we have this once a week? And can we have a longer devotional? We said, absolutely. We just need to figure out where we're going to do that and how we're going to do that. So a year and a half ago, God provided this space that I refer to. But before that, we continued to meet weekly. And it was here as I met with the missions committee and Pastor Dave, and I began to say, well, we're not church planting. We're just having a Bible study, and people are coming. And people are coming and coming and coming. And at that point, Pastor Dave said to me, Benita, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it actually might be a duck. So we still are not declaring it a church, because out of the 30,000 indigenous people that are living in Thunder Bay, only 125 of them are attending churches in our city. And so to call it a church seemed like we would lose them. So they named it The Gathering. And at that place, we have an opportunity to continue to see the people come through the doors. And for those of you that have read our newsletters, we are at a place now where we are at 70 on any given Sunday evening. And we are actually having to turn away between 12 and 20 people every Sunday because we don't have capacity. Now, we are just, first of all, shocked, but the other part of it is grieved. Grieved that we have to turn away people who are hungry for the word and also hungry for a meal. That turning away is because of capacity, it's also because of volunteer, and it's also because of resources. And so we want to figure out how we can change that, how we can do that a second sitting on the same day, because we recognize that the need is great and they are so hungry for hearing. It's incredible to watch as we see the elders, the grandmas, the grandpas coming in. And as they come and they bring their children and their grandchildren. And so we are amazed at what God is doing. We have also seen significant growth and change in our counseling department. One of the things that has been a passion of Bear and I since the first days when we lived in the First Nations community in British Columbia, and that was for a place for families to come. families to come and to get counseling, to get encouragement, to find hope. We started that program about a year and a half ago, where we began to really see transformations by the families coming. God has moved mightily. And at this point, Health Canada is actually choosing to fly the families to Thunder Bay so that they can receive counseling from Northwind. And we consider this an incredible open door that only God could have done. The families come in. Many of them are between 8 to 10 people. They come in and they receive counseling. They're able to work through many of the challenges that they have faced. One of the things that the former Grand Chief, Stan Beardy, said to me, I asked him, I said, "What? We recognize that we're seeing success. We're seeing success not in the world's eyes, but we're seeing that these families are being changed." And I said, "Please help me understand where that change is, why those changes are happening, so that we can continue those." And he began to unfold for me again the aspects of what happened during the residential school. And for those of you who have watched the Indian Horse movie of the hockey player, can recognize that in that story is a bit of a sub-story of two young girls. A small child seeking comfort and support from her older sibling. But every time she came for that comfort and support, she was ripped away from her sister's arms, she was put in a cage, and she was mistreated till the time that she died. Former Grand Chief Stan Beardy said, "Our people, because of the horrific experiences that they have had, have not been able to respond to one another in love and care. And generation after generation, they had to shut down that God instinctive aspect of comforting and supporting and loving on each other when our families are in pain." And so the family strengthening, as we engage in attachment theory, we're seeing them begin to respond to one another, begin to reach out when each other is hurting, and the healing is happening. We can't stop the tragedies that are all going on up north. But as they begin to respond to one another in more effective and healthy ways, we are seeing the family transform. And so as we continue to have a family come every month for 1 week, and then continue to follow up with them in 3 weeks and 6 weeks and a couple months after that, and to see them coming, returning over and over again and seeing that change. And so I want to just invite you again. The churches, we need people to come and be a part of an intensive team as they come to be a part of that, to watch a family transform before their eyes. And at this point, we have about an 8-month wait list. Families coming down are calling in, are emailing, are sending in faxes, any way that they can get our attention so that they can send their family down to the programs. And we know that this is only by God, and we know that we cannot do this alone. We have also had the incredible opportunity and privilege to work with an organization called the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls. Another aspect of our truth and reconciliation incentives of supporting those, and to come alongside the families that have lost their daughters. A few months ago, I was also invited to the Anishinaabe Police Force Women's Conference, where I was able to share with them and talk about what it meant to be resilient in a place of so much hurt. So again, we recognize that in what we're doing and the doors that God's opening, we know that this is happening because of prayers such as here from Glenridge and the ongoing support of what's happening. And so I just want to take this time again to thank you. Thank you as a church for standing behind us for, I think it's over 10 years now, where this church has stood by us, has prayed for us, has encouraged us. We know that when we're down, we can contact the missions committee. We can contact our dear friends here, ask for prayer. And so we thank you for that. And we thank you for your ongoing financial support as well. And we just want to share with you that God is moving. We are seeing chiefs. We're seeing families responding. And as chiefs that are godly leaders are seeking prayer as they lead their communities and as they lead the tribe to following him. And so let's continue to stand with our Indigenous people, to encourage, to support and to recognize that they have so much to offer us. Thank you.
Before I read the scripture, just want to take this opportunity just to thank the Lord for this opportunity and thank the leadership within our church here for allowing us to come and be with you. It's always a privilege from day one being here at Glen Ridge and to be with you. It's unfortunate because right after this, well, we're going to be spending time with the mission committee and then we'll rush over to Boston Baptist near Brantford to spend time with them for the evening, and then we'll be flying back tomorrow. But I just want to just thank the Lord for this opportunity, as I mentioned. But before we go any further, maybe we'll just commit this time once more to the Lord and ask the Lord to prepare our hearts and to be with us at this time as we go into His Word. Father, we want to thank you again just for the opportunity to be here with your people and be together worshiping you and listening to your Word. We pray, Lord God, this morning that you will prepare our hearts. Use me as your vessels. We pray for your Spirit to be with us. Thank you that you will be with us. We pray too for those who could not make it this morning for a number of reasons, some for health and some for other reasons. And again, God, we pray that the blessings of being here this morning will also be felt in the lives of our loved ones, our congregation members who could not be here with us this morning. Thank you for the opportunity of being here and worshiping you together and looking into your word. Make our hearts clean, make our lives be a clean vessels for you. Prepare our hearts for you. We invite you, Lord God, Holy Spirit, to be with us this morning as we go into your word. Thank you for your love, for your faithfulness, for your assurance that you will be with us. For your word reminds us, wherever there are two or three gathered in my name, I will be in them. So we are thanking you and trusting you that you will be with us as we continue learning from you and worshiping you. We commit this time to you and thanking you in Jesus' name. Psalm 122, as Pastor Bob mentioned a little bit from the beginning on verse 1. I will read from verse 1 to verse 9. This was the Psalms of David. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There the thrones for the judgment stand, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your prosperity. As I mentioned already, this psalm was a psalm of David. It was a psalm of the essence. As I look into Bible dictionary, what was the essence? It's the sounds of the steps. I don't know whether the psalms were being read while people were going to Jerusalem for their annual gathering. There was, as you probably know from the Bible, there are some gatherings, some get-together, the people of Israel for the Passover festival. the Festival of Feasts. And there are other festivals that are known within Israel. That is the time when people of Israel, the Jewish people, they flock to Jerusalem. So this might be in one of the Psalms that was read on the way to Jerusalem. The Psalms was the Psalms of David. I want to focus on verse 1, as Pastor Bob was mentioning this morning. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. As we all know, David was a man of war. He was involved in a lot of warfare, conquering nations after nations. It was probably in one of those times, coming back from war, when he came to Jerusalem, and somebody mentioned to him, let us go to the house of the Lord. And David, how he longs to go to the house of the Lord. I rejoice with those who said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So this morning, I just want to focus on that. The message this morning is the role of Jerusalem. The role of Jerusalem in a Jewish nation. I will compare that to the role of the churches in our communities, in our societies today, because there's a lot of similarities. Why is Jerusalem so important in the life of a Jewish nation? Why is Jerusalem so important? I believe just as Jerusalem is important to a Jewish nation, we can see the correlation, you know, the vitality, the importance of a church in any society, in our country. I believe in a place like St. Catherine or a country like Canada, you remove all the churches from St. Catherine, all the believing churches, or all the churches from Canada, we will see a different picture of what St. Catherine or what Canada is all about. Remove all the churches, and Canada will be a different place. So this morning, we want to learn, we want to find out, why is Jerusalem so important in the life of a Jewish nation? Why is our churches so important? We can learn a few things from this text alone. I want to point out 3 points. Some reasons why Jerusalem is important to a Jewish nation. Verse 3, Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted. I have been to Jerusalem a few times because I was with the United Nations Peacekeeping, UNIFIL, United Interim Force in Lebanon. I went on 3 tours, one in 78 and another trip, 1980 and 81. We were not allowed to go any other places for a leave or for a holiday. You work 3 months on and 2 weeks off. So every time we take a break, we go to Israel. And I've been to the old city in Jerusalem a few times. For those of you who've never been to Jerusalem, inside the old city, the houses are pretty much compacted together. They are almost that connected together. It's not so much the individual homes like we have here in Canada. Jerusalem, within the city wall in Jerusalem, the city is compacted. They are built to strengthen one another. And can you imagine in a city like that, when the houses are connected together, are joined together, or are close to each other together, you can basically, you can bet that people know each other. You probably know what's happening next door. Lives are transparent. They know each other. When we look at the role of our churches in our country and in a city like St. Catherine, in a church like our church here at Glenridge Bible Church, we ask the question, do we know each other? Are we close to each other? Because we can come to church like this every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, yet we hardly know what's happening in people's lives. Jerusalem is a place of security. David says in verse 2, our feet are standing on the gates of Jerusalem. You know, after spending weeks and months out there in the wilderness, conquering nations after nations, and yet when David comes to Jerusalem, sets his feet on the gate, the sense of security comes upon his life. I wonder how many people come to our church here when they set foot on the door, on the gates on our door here at Glenridge Bible Church. They feel secure. We've seen, you know, even our church here have gone through some difficult times. Many churches are going through difficult times today. There are many people out there, they don't feel safe. You probably have run into people that have told you the statement, I don't want to have anything to do with the churches today. Loved ones, relatives. The challenge, the question for us as church people, can we make our church a secure place? A place where people long for to go on Sunday or any given day. When they set foot in our doors here, they feel secure, they feel safe to be here. Many, many people, you probably run into many, many people that have been turned away because of the church. Bonita mentioned a little bit here. Some of the people that have been coming to our gathering, they rather prefer to be known as a gathering place rather than a church, because they have been let down many, many times by the church. Their whole residential school idea was the concept to remove the Indians out of a child. And guess who was doing that? It was the government of Canada together with our churches. So it's going to take time for us as church people to bring the good news to our First Nation people, because they have seen what the churches have done in their lives. And so I want to encourage us, challenge us this morning. Can we create our church here at Glenridge to be a security place, to be a place where people can feel safe to be? Another point we can find from this scripture, on verse 4, excuse me. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord, according to the statute given in Israel. You see, a church, Jerusalem, David loves going to Jerusalem because it is the place where the temple of God is. And it is the place where the Israelites, the Jewish nation, they go to praise the Lord and worshiping God. David longs for that when he's out in the wilderness and conquering nations, the first thing probably he does when he comes to Jerusalem, he heads for the temple. He goes right to the sanctuary just to spend time. How do we respond coming to church? You know, after a week or 2 weeks or month of struggling with issues, with the difficult situations we face at home, at work, and other areas, how do we feel when Sunday comes? Do we get ourselves ready for church for Sunday? Sometimes, you know, I'm included in this too. Sometimes when Sunday comes, we literally drag ourselves to church. We don't want to go to church. And yet, the Israelites were commanded, do this. They flocked to Jerusalem for that yearly festival to spend time together and praise the Lord together. You know, it's one thing to, you know, you probably hear the many reasons. You know, you go to church, you know, I stay home. It's the same God. It's one thing to worship God individually or as a family, but it's another thing to worship God together, corporately, as a group. When the scripture reminds us, you know, wherever there are two or three gathered in my name, I will be in them. You know, that's the minimum number of people can get together. But can you imagine when 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 people get together to praise God? It's unbelievable. When they are all united together in one accord, one spirit, worshiping God together, the earth rocks, you know, just everything just moves. The vitality, what I'm saying today, the vitality of getting together, worshiping the Lord together. It's good for us, but it is also a commandment of the Lord. The Israelites, the Jewish people, were commanded to do this event yearly, to go to Jerusalem, or go to the sanctuary, go to the temple. The vitality of getting together and worshiping together. There is power in praises. You know, when you spend time praising the Lord together, it helps to remove the negative attitudes in our lives. Learning to praise the Lord together is learning to put our faith, our trust in who God is. I'm very positive. Prior to Glen Ridge Bible Church making a decision, coming here to use this building, you have spent a lot of time worshiping God, praising God, seeking God's direction for what to do in regards to purchasing this building, this property here. I believe, you know, one of the reasons why we struggle so much sometimes, we don't spend enough time praising God. We can never praise God enough in our lives. There's so many things to praise the Lord, to thank the Lord for our lives. Apart from his faithfulness in our lives, we can spend a long time here this morning if we are to come out with all the things that we need to thank the Lord for. And so I want to encourage us this morning, learning to praise the Lord together or learning to praise God in your life is learning to live a life of obedience. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. Sometimes we can only thank the Lord for the good things that comes in our lives. We don't thank God enough for the difficult situations. in our lives. When we were told to leave Eagles Cove a few years ago, we left Eagles Cove with a lot of broken hearts. Our children were crying. We were crying. We were given 2 weeks by the sentiment to leave the cove. We stayed at Thunder Bay. We've never bought a house before. That was the first house we ever bought in our lives. It was heartbreaking. We spent 3 years in the city. And that property at Eagles Cove that our church here helped to establish was left empty for 3 years. As a result of those 3 years, by the time we come back, our van that was left at the cove, our snow plow truck was left at the cove. We could not start it up to this day. It's left for good because everything was rusted. But those three years of heartaches, as we look back at what the Lord have done in our lives, it was 3 years of learning to trust in God. And our church here at Glen Ridge were part of that. You stood behind us, prayed for us. North Wind would not have been what it is today if it was not for the praises and thanksgiving and requests, prayer requests from Glen Ridge. And I pray and hope that we will be keep doing things together until the Lord calls us home to be with him. The power of praises, my friends, is very powerful. In the midst of all the struggles that our churches, our families have gone through, if we can only learn to keep praising God for his faithfulness, God is faithful. He can turn difficult situations for our betterment. He can turn rough, hard situations and bring it for his glory. The third and final point I want to share this morning, not only Jerusalem was a place of security, not only Jerusalem was a place of worship, praising God, but Jerusalem was also a place to be corrected. Verse 5, there the thrones of judgment stand, the thrones of the house of David. You see, the Israelites, they are just like all of us. They have their grievances, they have their differences. There's rivalries even between them. But during the festival, during their get-together, their annual gathering in Jerusalem, that is the time when the Israelites, they go there too for judgment, to be corrected by the prophets and sometimes by the kings, like King Solomon that we have heard, you know, two women who were arguing about a baby, you know. King Solomon was the judge on that day. Jerusalem is the place where the temple of God is. The people of Israel, they flock to Jerusalem because that is the time when they have the opportunity to be corrected by the prophet, by the word of God. How do we respond when Sunday comes? When we come to church like this on every Sunday, do we look forward to be corrected by the word of God? Because sometimes we can be easily sitting in this church like this, in the Sunday morning like this. Our minds, our thoughts are elsewhere. We don't prepare our hearts to hear the word of God. The Israelites, the word of God was given to them. The word of God in people's lives makes the difference. Prior to coming to Canada, I have been involved in a number of mission trips all around Fiji. I've gone on boat ministry. There are a number of yacht ministry that come to Fiji from the States, from New Zealand, from Australia. And I've gone on some of these boats. In Fiji is the Bible Society. The South Pacific Bible Society is in Fiji. It's the headquarter for the Bible Societies in the South Pacific. So some of these boats would come to Fiji, and then they would load the Bibles to those smaller countries, and then they would go and do Bible distributions in some of these countries. The Cook Islands, the Samoans, the Tongans, Tahiti, and all those countries. New Caledonia, New Hebrides. And I've gone on many trips like that, even around Fiji Islands. In Fiji, there are more than 300 islands. And so I go with some of these boats doing Bible distributions. And sometimes we are involved in Bible studies in some of the villages. Sometimes, even before we talk to the people, as soon as we arrive in a village, I can always tell, as the Spirit of God moves, we can always tell this is going to be an easy village to sell the Bible or to distribute the Bible or to do Bible studies. You go to some other villages, you can tell this one is going to be very difficult. The whole atmosphere. It depends very much on how people have accepted the Word of God into their lives. It's amazing. You know, I have the same experiences. I've lived in BC, I've lived in Alberta, I've gone through Saskatchewan, now I'm in Thunder Bay, I'm in Ontario now. So I've gone through a number of villages. I've done quite a number of visitations in these villages. It reminds me of my time in Fiji. When you go to a village or a place where they have accepted the Word of God the way it is and believe in it, you can guarantee the whole atmosphere. You can just feel the freedom. Even before talking to people, just by seeing them and watching them, the minute you enter that place, you can just feel the Spirit. This is going to be a good place. This is going to be an easy place to do mission work. This place is going to be very difficult. It depends very much on how people have accepted the Word of God, living the Word of God in their lives. So Jerusalem is very crucial in the life of a Jewish nation, because that is one place in their lives where they flock to hear the Word of God, to be corrected by the Word of God. How do we respond? What is our attitude when we come to church on Sunday, any given Sunday? Do we look forward to be corrected by the Word of God? If we are not ready to be corrected by the Word of God, then church can be just a mechanical thing, just another routine that I have to do on Sunday. We are losing a lot of our younger generations today because of the pressure that is coming into our society today. A few years ago in Fiji, there was a cartoon, a picture. On top of that picture was a well-dressed missionary pointing to a picture of a half-naked Fijian wearing grass skirt with the word, "Get dressed." And right below it, a well-dressed Fijian pointing to a half-naked tourist, "You get dressed." It's very unfortunate because the influence of the West is coming. It took a long time for Fiji to have the television because we live in a community. After all the neighboring countries have turned to TV, the government, our people, we don't want TV because it's going to affect our people. Unfortunately, that has happened too. So we find kids, people are watching TV now with a cell phone, with electronic, now it's even worse. It's no longer community. People are engaging in television and electronics and without spending time with each other. And so I want to encourage us today, can we make our church to be a place where we can be corrected by the word, where we can go back to the word of God and transformed by the word of God? In conclusion, verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is, pray for the churches. Pray for the body of Christ. Pray for the peace within your walls. Pray for the security within your citadels, the leaderships in churches. Citadels represents, you know, the palace. Pray for the peace amongst relatives and friends. For the sake of my brother, verse 8, for the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. You know, when the churches are prospering, not only health or not only wealth-wise, but the functioning of the churches. When the churches are functioning properly, guess what? Prosperity comes in, follows in. I mean, it's biblical. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. When all of our churches in St. Catherine, when all of our churches in Canada, when all of the churches in the world are functioning properly the way God wants it to be, guess what? Prosperity will come to our neighborhood. We grow as a community. We not only grow as a church, we grow as a community. The impact of the work of the church will flow. People will know that people are going to church. We're already feeling some of the blessings of the prosperity of our church here. It's been come over to our Thunder Bay. We are feeling it. Our homes. And so the challenge for us this morning, what is our role of our church? We were at a conference a few days ago, and one of the speakers took out a chocolate like this, a different package. So he tore it in front of us, and he ate the chocolate. I won't eat this chocolate because I'm diabetes, you know. And so he ate the chocolate, and after he ate the chocolate, then he ate also the wrappers. As Christians sometimes, you know, first generation Christians, we offer the goodness of God. We are eating it. Second generation, they eat the wrappers. They try Christianity. They spit it out. They try again. Can our church here at Glen Ridge offer the goodness of God so our kids, so our children, grandchildren, our neighbors can eat the goodness of God in their lives? Can they see the difference? And so I want to encourage us this morning. It's time our church, not only Glen Ridge, but all of our churches globally, we should live up and be kind, become the type of church God wants us to be. And we will see many people come to know Jesus. Let's just pray. Father, we want to thank you again today Thank you for the opportunity to be here amongst your people. We just pray for your blessings and thank you for your word. Be with all our families. You know all the struggles we go through, whether it be health or addictions of some of our people. And Father, we just pray that you be with them. Thank you for your word and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.